We can have our lights, please. I hope that was an encouragement to you a little bit to see your mission dollars at work. That's always, it's always exciting to see what God's doing, you know. And folks say, boy, your ministry, you're really doing a lot. No, you are doing a lot. You know, without you folks, we couldn't do it, you know. Where in the world would Don Sturts come up with we needed $400,000 just for those Polish Protector's Bibles. No way in the world I could come up with that. But God uses churches, and not only the churches, but He uses the individuals in the church collectively in a unity to provide for missions. Amen. So thank you. Thank you so much. And that's why I said this is, it's your outreach. It's your ministry. And so thank you so much. You've been supporting us now, I think like 23 years, somewhere around there. And it's a long time, so thank you so very much. And we're excited because we've got, you know, some younger men, my son Josh and Brother John Meyer coming in, and we're praying for more. We need young men to get with it, get in the saddle and to keep on going, you know. And I know I had folks tell me, now what are you doing now, Brother Don, that you retired? Retired? You know, yeah, he says, God called me to preach. He didn't call me to quit. And he says, I'm just going to keep going as long as God lets us go, you know. And so we praise God for that opportunity. All right, I'd like to have you turn your Bibles to Matthew tonight, Matthew chapter 8. And for the next 3.5 hours, we'll zip right along here because you're probably going to get like me. You're going to get hungry and you're going to get thirsty. And so we'll zip right in here. Let's look here at Matthew chapter 8. We'll start there in verse number 5. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now go down to verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can open up your book, the Bible. And Father, we thank you for the privilege of having the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you just hide me behind the cross. And Lord, that I'd say that which you'd have to be spoken tonight. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this conference. We thank you for their burden and their heart and their desire to want to send the gospel throughout the world. And Lord, I pray that you might increase our faith, that we might be like this centurion, just believing what God can do. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we find here this fellow, he didn't have Jesus come. You know, here he is, he waited, he, you know, you say, why? What's the reason? What took place? This guy first understood authority. He understood authority. That's why he said, I'm a man under authority. He said, I have soldiers, I tell them what to do. What do? They do it. He says, I have servants, I tell them what to do. They do it. You know, I was raised on a dairy farm in Wisconsin. And my dad, German descent, he told us to do something once. That's it. I mean, he didn't come along and say, did you do this? Did you sweep the hay into the cows? Did you sweep the hay into the cows? Did you sweep the hay into the cows? No. He said, sweep the hay into the cows. And guess what I did? We went and swept the hay into the cows. Right. When it come time to clean the barn, we cleaned the barn. In fact, it got to the point he didn't have to say anything to us. Because we knew what we had to do and we did it. Because he was authority over us. And if we didn't do it, we were adjusted. Our attitude was adjusted. And we didn't mess around again. And they say, oh, that's brutality. No, it's wisdom. It's wisdom. Because he trained us. And listen, it's helped me in ministry my entire life. Nobody had to stand behind me and say, boy, are you going to call some preachers? Boy, are you going to prepare to preach? Boy, are you going to get out on the road? Boy, are you going to go overseas? Boy, are you going to contact some folks and get a team together? Are you going to contact the printing ministry and get them the scriptures there and get them printed? And are you going to call and get a container to come in? Are you going to arrange on the other side to get it through customs? You're going to take care of that. Nobody had to say that because I knew it had to be done. And oh, listen, we've got to understand authority. Just like this guy, it was obedient. And when it comes to faith, God wants obedient action. He doesn't want us to sit there and say, let me think about this.
Preach it. Come on.
You know, let me consider this for a while before I make a decision. You know, that our old human nature, we want a bucket. And you say, did you ever do it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember very well when I was listening to Brother Jay giving his testimony, I thought, oh, yes. We had the same thing happen back in October of 1974. We had our missions conference at our home church. We had a fellow that came and he presented a ministry that I was not familiar with at all called Frontline Fellowship, an Iron Curtain ministry, getting the Word of God behind the Iron Curtain. Now, Laura and I had been doing some praying. We had surrendered our lives a month prior to that to the Lord. We said, Lord, I don't know what you got in mind, but send a preacher along, send a missionary along, send an evangelist, somebody that'll speak to my heart. Well, that night he came, and when I saw the presentation and saw the film that they showed on communism and saw the need that was there, and God was dealing with my heart, but I, you know how it is, you just kind of think, well, it's just emotions at the time. Well, when he stood at the back and was shaking hands with people, I come up to him and I reach out and he goes, I want to talk to you. And I look around at me. He says, yes, you, stick around. Okay, I stuck around. So he talked to me a little bit. He says, we don't have any representatives up here. We've got nobody up in your part of the country. Boy, the Lord just laid you on my heart to ask you about becoming a representative. He says, would you pray about it? I went, No, I wasn't going to pray about that because there was two things I was never going to do. I'm a farm boy. Two things. I was never going to travel, and I was never going to be a public speaker. I'm serious. Those are two things that I was not going to do. Now, when you say something to God like that, he's got a good sense of humor. And I think he just sits in heaven, he smiles a little bit and says, we'll see about that. Well, the next night, I came to church. He was there two nights in a conference. I came in the back door, and guess the first thing I did? I looked where he was. He was here. So I went there. He went there, so I came up here. And I stayed away from him. I thought I got it made. Now it was time to run to the boys' room right before the service started. So I ran down, and guess who was coming out? He says, here you are. I've been looking for you. Stick around. I want to talk to you for a while. And, you know, when you ask the Lord sometimes to be blunt, he gets very blunt with you. You know, he knew I was kind of a thick-headed German, and it would take somebody to smack me aside the head to get my attention, and that's what it took. But anyhow, listen, I thank God for that. But and finally, I eventually surrendered, and that was in October. We began working with him in January of 1975, and we haven't quit. We left that ministry after 4.5 years. We got some training under them, and we started our own local church ministry, Baptist Couriers for Christ, in 1979. Then, you see this guy here. Has obedient action. Now, with faith promise is obedience to God and reaching a lost world with the gospel of Christ. That's the ultimate goal. Amen. It's dealing with money, but it's obedience to God in carrying out his great command. He said, as the Father has sent me, what did he say then to his disciples? Even so, send your neighbor. Is that what he says? No. He says, even so send I you. You know, each one of us are a missionary. You got a field right here that needs to be reached. People that need Christ. Amen. And then that huge map back there of the world. And you see all those countries. And you heard this morning all the languages. There's half of the world's languages have scripture in their tongue, half don't. So pray for translators. Pray for translators. The last few years we helped with, this isn't live streamed, is it?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I won't say it. You can talk to me afterwards. But anyhow, we helped get a scripture translated in a Southeast Asian country where it's illegal. And now they have the Word of God in their tongue. And we helped finance that. So thank God your dollars went there. See, man, I didn't know that. Yeah. And you're going to see some of them someday. And listen, thank God for that. But listen, it takes obedience to God. You know, faith is this, trust and obey. Faith in the New Testament is the same as trust and believe in the Old Testament. Look over once in Romans chapter 4. And we'll take a moment here and read some scriptures about Abraham here in Romans chapter 4. And let's get down and start there in verse number 17. He says here, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now watch this. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. That's what faith promises. You know, God's going to lay something on your heart, and he's going to say, I want you to give this, and you don't see the money, but you give what you got there, and you do what God tells you to do. And then, listen, when God told Abraham this promise, he waited 24 years before God gave him the son. Now, how would you like to work in a factory for 24 years and not get paid? Hey, Abraham waited 24 years, but he still trusted God. You know, we're in this Burger King age. We want to see God go, you know, right now. Hey, God, do this. Just like a magic genie, you know. God, take care of this. Woo! There he is. He took care of it right there. He's not our genie. He's God. And he knows this whole world. There's, you know, these elections and all that stuff, you know. He knew that long before it took place. But he wanted to see what we're going to do. Are we going to pray? Are we going to get involved? Are we going to stand up for what's right? And that's what he's looking for. And so we find here, it goes on down in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was 90. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now watch this verse. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. And the next word is the biggest word in the Bible. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Every time you find the word if in the Bible, there's going to be a split in the road. You're going to have a choice to make. And it's a big word. And I'll tell you, many people stumble over it. And so you make sure you sit down and you take account of what's there. And what is next? And he said here, if we believe. And it takes that faith. It takes that faith. Faith is, Lord, what do you want? I'll do it. What do you want? I'll do it, God. I'll just do it. Just obey and trust God for the results. Just obey and trust God for the results. Listen, our God is only as big as our faith. That's how big he is. Think about this for a moment. What do we have to trust God for by faith? Serious. Do you have to trust God to, oh, you don't have a meal for tomorrow morning for breakfast? You got to get down and say, oh, God, you better provide something. I don't have anything. No, you open up your fridge and you've got eggs and you've got stuff for probably making pancakes and waffles and you probably have honey and you probably have, you know, different butter and jams and jellies and breads and probably have some of this protein stuff that I like. donuts. Anyway, you know, and anyhow, you know, we have all that stuff. You don't have to say, God, please do something. Yeah, in most cases, you don't have to say, oh, God, I don't have any gas for my vehicle. I'll never be able to get to work. God, get down on your knees and say, God, you got to do something. You don't have to do that. You don't have to worry about if you get sick, you go to the doctor, and your insurance takes care of it. You go up and get a fender bender out there on the road, and you got insurance to take care of that. You have the wind come and tear off some of the roof of your house. You got insurance to take care of that. What do we have to trust God for? That's why faith promise is so exciting. Because here's an area where you can see how real God is. And I'll tell you, when you get involved in what God wants you to do in giving, it's exciting. You know, faith is doing what God said. Do the will of God. Just do the will of God. Surrender your will. You know, we like to hang on to this old flesh, and we like to be in control. We do. It's just our flesh. It's just the way we are. We want to control what we do. And when it comes to this thing in missions, let him control. Let him show you. Let him tell you. You say, you mean to say he's going to speak to me? You'll think he did. You ask him what to give. You know, but a lot of times our problem is we don't do this. We don't get down before him and say, God, I give you my life. Here it is. Lord, I give you my spouse. Here they are. Lord, I give you my children. Here they are. Lord, I give you my home. Here it is. Lord, I give you my job. Here it is. Lord, I give you everything that I have. It's yours. And you lay it down. And you say, Lord, here it is. And you say, what does God do then? 98% of the time, he'll pick it up. He'll say, thank you. Give it back to you and say, now use it for my glory. Amen. Sometimes he'll keep it and say, I want you to go to the regions beyond. But it takes just as much dedication to be a strong soul winner here as it does to be on the foreign field. Amen. And it takes just as much surrender to be solid in your missions giving here as what it does for a missionary to go to the foreign Amen. Field. It takes that commitment. It takes that commitment. That's why it says in Isaiah 32:20, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters. Yeah. You go, look at that big map out there, and what surrounds all those continents? Water. He said, blessed are those that sow beside all waters. And when you go around and you look at those maps many, many times, the biggest cities are right on the coast. That's where a lot of them are. And he said, listen, we got to sow the seed. And listen, and it begins when we yield ourselves to him. You know, our wills are only ours to yield to Almighty God. When we get saved, I mean, that's it. They belong to him. You don't belong to you anymore. Did he not say, I bought you with a price? Behind here, there's that cross. He hung on that cross. His body was so beaten and so tortured and so ripped up by the cat of nine tails whips that they whipped him with, and with that crown that they pounded upon his head, and the blood and his hide just hanging loose upon him, and then they nailed him to that cross. And he hung there because he loved you and you and you and me. And he loved every single soul that's ever lived on this earth and ever who will live. But the problem is most of those people never know that. They'll never hear it. They'll never get a copy of the Word of God in their tongue. They'll never get a gospel tract in their tongue. Most of them will just come and live, and all they'll know is religion. Because man must worship. There's an empty within, something within them. That's why Satan is so sly in getting people all these different religions, thousands and thousands. In fact, in India has over 1 million gods. And he says he's just so sly. He gets them all to worship that. He gets many of them to worship the earth. They love the earth. They want to worship the earth. Don't worry about the earth. My Bible tells me this. It says the earth is the Lord's. The world is the system. That's where the people are. That's where the devil works. The earth is God's. And what do you think he's doing right now out there? These hurricanes, you think that's just an accident? God's saying, wake up, America. Wake up with all this filth that's going on in America. The filth that's being taught in our schools, our public schools, in our colleges, how they teach them they're not a male or a female. You're in between. You're a cat or a dog. All that garbage they're teaching them. And listen, there was a place in the Bible where they were doing that. A place called Sodom and Gomorrah. I've been there. It's just a field of salt. Nothing will ever grow there again. Ever. It's gone. And I tell you, when a nation starts dipping into that kind of sin and just starts glorifying that kind of sin and it gets bigger and bigger, look out! Because God says, I've had enough. And who knows what he's going to do? California, wildfires, burning things up out there. Things happening, that's just, I mean, crazy stuff. It's no accident. We got a God we're dealing with. And he says, listen, put me first, put me first, put me first. Boy, you go through the Old Testament and you just look at the nation of Israel. And boy, I tell you, what a yo-yo. I mean, they're like they're on a yo-yo. And they're down here and they're away from God and they're serving idols. And God comes down and goes, bam, 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 bam. And all of a sudden they're over here and they're worshiping the Lord. And then bam, they're down here again. Just up and down and up and down and up and down. And many times our Christian lives are that way. You know? You're bound to have bumps in the road. You're bound to have things that happen. But we ought to be on a steady growth. We ought to be getting closer to him. We ought to be maturing, getting closer, and loving him more and doing what we can. You know, he told us, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say just go into some of it. He said, get it all. He said, I want them all there. You know when you say, why? Because there's this place called hell. You know, people don't like to hear about hell. But pretty much everything I've learned about hell, Jesus talked about it. That one who loves everybody. He said, I'm giving you an option. If you receive me. If you don't. And I can best visualize hell as not only this lake of fire, but in that lake of fire, there's crosses standing upright. And you notice a lot of those crosses are now occupied. And other ones are empty. And every time a lost person on this earth dies without Christ, he's taken down and he's nailed on that cross. And the flames leap up upon him and leap up upon him and leap up upon him. And it says he's going to weep and wail and gnash his teeth. It doesn't say he's going to thrash and throw his arms and kick his legs. It's just going to weep and wail and gnash his teeth. That sounds to me like the rest of him is bound. Where he can't do anything, just like Christ was bound on that cross. And for all eternity, he's going to cry, mercy, 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 for all eternity. And no one will hear him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I'll tell you something, they're going to get a hold of your heart. It ought to wrench it because people die lost. That's where they go. Boy, you can't put them in a purgatory. You can't put them in anything else. Listen. God's word is true. And boy, I tell you, it's hard sometimes. I know loved ones that lost relatives that died lost. Gone for all eternity. And boy, it tears on your heart. That's why we have faith promise missions. That's why we want to get the gospel out. We want to spare as many as we can from that horrid, horrid, horrid place. And oh, listen, they can get the gospel. This faith promise, you ask me this. You say, how does it work? I don't know. You say, why does it work? Because of faith. Because of faith. When God tells you to do something, just like Abraham, he had no idea what God was going to do. After all those years went by, he didn't have any idea. But God knew. And he just trusted him. You just trust him. He says, give so much, you give it. He says, faith is calling those things which are not as though they are, so they can be. Just like Abraham. Calling those things which are not, as though they are, so they can be. You know what I found in my life? Usually, he'll just take and push you above the budget a ways. You got your budget figured out. Well, I got so much tithe and so much I give to missions, and then we got these payments that we have, and he'll just say, above that. But Lord, above that. I remember the first time he did that. Smart, you know. He told me what to give. I wrote down half and put that in. It was too much. I thought, way too much. No way I was going to give that much. Guess what happened that night? I didn't sleep. All I could see was that what I did and how much he told me to give, and I wrestled and rolled around and rolled, couldn't wait to get to church the next day and write the other half in and get it where it needed to be. Well, listen, he comes through. He comes through. You know, God is never interested in how much you have, but how much you keep back. That's what he's interested in. And well, I'll tell you, he'll pour his blessings out. I mean, it's unreal. When you talk to missionaries, and you talk to those like Brianna coming over there to split Croatia. How could that happen? Would she just pick and go over there? No. She had an opportunity to serve God. Had an opportunity to go there and be in that Diocletian's palace. In fact, she even got to go out there with us. We went out to what was left of that Colosseum. And we got to look at that out there and see what was there, you know, all those hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and see what was there. And listen, places like that where they're never in a million years, you know. I never thought about going to Europe. Man, I've been in every country in Europe. I don't know, multiple times. Been in Russia. Been in all those areas over there. Been in Armenia. In places you never dream of being. But God says, here, get there. Because I want something to get done. And oh, listen. A lot of times we look and say, oh my, boy, if I do this for Jesus, you know, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. He's going to bless you. Amen. That's what's going to happen. He's just going to take it and he's going to bless you with it. He's going to take and do things that are unbelievable. You know, we read back here with this centurion where it said, Jesus marveled. There's only two places in the New Testament where Jesus marveled. He marveled there at his faith. The other one was over in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, where he marveled at their unbelief. He said, what are you going to do? You know, it's just, what are you going to do? You know, I came across this poem some time ago called Cast Your Bread. And it says, I stood beside the mighty wind-swept seas, while its swelling waters seemed to speak to me. Bread, give us bread, came the awesome cry. Bread, give us bread, ere we die. In my hands I held that bread and contemplated what the waves had said. How irrational it seemed to me to cast my hope of life upon the sea. And yet my ears could not withstand that horrid, begging, pleading strand. And so I turned, and with no further thought, I hurled from me that which with my labors I had wrought. Like gaping, ravenous jaws, the waves closed their frothing teeth upon that sumptuous feast. And as the bread sank out of sight, the sea from her raging ceased. Then darkened clouds of doubt blotted out the sun. Fool, thou fool, I cried, what hast thou done? Bread more precious to jewels thou didst spurn. Never again to thee shall it return. Now I walk the timeless sands and wind-swept shore. That which with wavering faith I cast, I shall see no more. A day, a week, a month, 1,000 years have passed. Then suddenly my ears embrace the sound of trumpet blast. Instantly the air is filled, 1,000,000 voices blend, and there comes marching over that sea a mighty army without end. Before me in reverent silence stands that mighty congregation, composed of men from every land, tribe, and nation. With outstretched arms of gratitude, they offer now to me a white and boyish substance. Oh, what can this substance be? I take their offering in my hand, thoughts spin within my head, while with wild acclamations, shouts of acclamation, I cry out, my God, 'tis bread. Yes, I cast my bread upon the seas, but thank God, after many days, it has come back to me. Oh, listen, that's missions. That's Faith Promise Missions. And you're going to hear more teaching on how to do that here in the next days. But oh, listen, when you think about that and you get that Faith Promise card, you start putting in your mind's eye, as you look at that card, you start putting faces of people on there. And you start thinking of folks, whether they're Indian, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're Irish, whether they're German, whether they're Brazilian. And you just start putting their faces on there, and you think, as that's taken away, every time that ticks, two people die and head to hell. Two people die and head to hell. Thousands upon thousands every hour die and go to hell. And you think, God, help me to do what's right before you. And just like that gentleman here did, he cast his bread. He cast his bread, and it came back to him. Oh, someday, because of your missions giving, you're going to see so much fruit. Let's increase that. Let's do more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now, Lord, for this time that we could take and look at this centurion and see this man as he gave his heart to you somewhere along the line, and he had enough faith to just believe that all you had to do was just speak the word to heal his servant. And that servant was healed. God, increase our faith. Help us just to believe. And Lord, maybe tonight there's something we're holding on to, some fear that's there that we're afraid of. And God, help us tonight to take and lay that fear down in the altar here and say, oh God, I yield that to you. And maybe we never thought too much about people dying and going to a Christless eternity. And tonight, maybe just say, God, give me a vision for souls. Give me a vision for people I can reach, and help me through missions, God, to do what you want me to do. Maybe you just need to get down and pray and say, God, what do you want me to give this year? And you got to just pour your heart out and say, God, show me. Speak to my heart. Tell me what I should do. Whatever it is, you do what you need to do tonight. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Father, we pray you'd work in hearts and lives tonight. God, that you'd stir us, draw us closer to thee, help us to realize that there's eternal value in giving to missions. Lord, that you see it and that it pleases you. You said it that without faith it is impossible to please you. And Lord, we just want to, by faith, trust you. It says the righteous shall live by faith. And Lord, help us to just increase that faith this year before our holy God in our missions giving. And Lord, have your will accomplished tonight in the hearts of these people. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, would